Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name's Michelle Cachette. I'm your co-host today, and joining me in the conversation is my friend Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a good week. How about you?
Great. You're not feeling overwhelmed?
What a nice transition. That was so good. Well, actually, I feel overwhelmed probably the majority of my life, but I'm working very hard to change that and to kind of get some more balance in. I think it's part of just being that type A achiever. I tend to put more stuff in my schedule than I should. Have you ever been there?
Yeah. So like I do talk about this a lot, and mostly I'm preaching to myself because I tend to overcommit and then I feel overwhelmed and then I have to kind of go through, you know, a season of pruning where I cut back. I actually think, in fact, I said to my team today, we had a call and we were talking about the current state of my calendar, which feels overwhelming. And I just said, you know, I think the nature of living things is that they have to periodically be pruned. So if you're in a phase in your life where you don't feel the need for pruning, it could be because you're not growing. But if you're growing, that's a sign of life. And if you're growing and there's life, there's going to be times, probably with some relative degree of frequency, that you're going to feel overwhelmed. So it's okay. You know,
yeah,
we've got
that's
strategies.
A great way to reframe it. Because I usually sit there and go, what's wrong with me that I get myself in this situation again?
Yeah, I do the same thing, but there's nothing wrong with you. You're just in a business that's growing. You're in a, you know, you've got speaking that's increasing, your book writing's increasing. The demand for Michelle is growing. So it's natural.
I like the sounds of that.
I know.
Except for the overwhelm that goes with it.
And see, here's what happens, is we think we can just keep saying yes without doing the hard work of saying no. And then eventually catches up with us and we got to prune because we can't support everything and some stuff has to be cut back.
All right. So here comes a nice personal question for you. When's the last time, and maybe it's what you just said earlier, when's the last time you found yourself in this exact position?
Yeah, this morning.
Oh, I mean, seriously. Excellent. Not that I'm happy for your pain, but for all of us, it's so good to know that you experience this too on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, what happened to me is that I overcommitted this summer. We're recording this in the summer. And usually the summer is a slow time for me, but I decided to produce this new course this summer. And of course, I underestimated how much work it would be, which is...
You've never done that before.
Oh my God. Well, I was saying to my son-in-law last week, I said, you know, every important thing in life happens because we underestimate what it will cost. And I think that's actually probably a good thing. Like when you got married, you had no idea.
No idea.
When you had kids, you were clueless.
But
if you really knew what it was going to cost, and I know Jesus says count the cost and all that, but if you really knew what it was going to cost, you probably wouldn't get married. You probably wouldn't have kids. You probably wouldn't write a book. You probably wouldn't speak publicly. You probably wouldn't do all the things that now looking back on, you're really glad you did.
Yeah, that's very true. I can totally see that. Well, if you are in that place where you are overwhelmed again, you are not alone. I know you promised you'd never do it again, but you did it anyway. You've said yes too many times. Now you found yourself in that place where you're completely overcommitted. And you probably hardly recognize yourself at this point because all those kind of those bad character qualities are probably coming out, which is what happens. But today, we're going to talk about 8 secrets to escape the overwhelm. So if you're in that place, you are listening to the right podcast because Michael has some great advice for you on how to better understand the dynamics that gets overwhelmed and then what to do when it happens, right? You have 8 secrets for us, right, Michael?
8 secrets. And I think these will be really helpful. And again, I'm just preaching to myself. And if you guys want to listen in, that's fine.
Yeah. And for those who are listening, I have my pen handy. So I'll be taking voracious notes. I told Michael before we recorded that I'm kind of considering this as like a counseling session.
It'll be mutual counseling.
Yeah. So just picture me sitting in the recliner taking notes about all my dysfunction with my overbusy schedule. All right. All right. Let's move on. Secret number one to escape the overwhelm. What is
it? Okay. Secret number one, which is always secret number one, is accept responsibility. If you're overcommitted and if you're feeling overwhelmed, you have to acknowledge, I have to acknowledge, I'm in this state because I made these commitments. Mm-hmm. Nobody forced me. Nobody held a gun to my head. As long as I'm the victim or I'm playing the victim, I'm powerless to change. I'm going to be overwhelmed from now till the end of time. But the truth is, I have a choice. You have a choice. I could decline the work. I could delegate it. At the very least, I could negotiate the deadlines. Mm-hmm. But I can't blame somebody else because I said yes.
Yeah, this is a really important first step. And it shifts us from being that place of victimization to really being in control right. of doing something different. I had to face this at the beginning of the summer. You know this, Michael. I decided to take almost 2 full months off of my blog and social media for multiple various reasons. But I had some significant projects that I wanted to dive into, but I needed my focused attention as well as I wanted to focus on my family. But what really prompted it was a feeling of being overwhelmed. Everything was going too fast, too many things vying for my attention. And I felt a victim to it. Well, I didn't feel like I had a choice. And then all of a sudden I realized, wait a second. It's my social media platform. I don't have to. It's my right. choice. Nobody's holding a gun to my head. And then when it came to my blog, it's my blog. Nobody's holding a gun to my head. I can right. choose to do something different. But it started with me taking responsibility that I had gotten myself in that position where yeah. I was overwhelmed.
That's where it always begins for any kind of behavioral change that we want to see. Is that we've got to own it, because as long as we're playing the victim, we're not in control. But once we say, you know what, the reason I'm overwhelmed is because I overcommitted and I am the one who said yes. Now, as difficult as that may be to say, suddenly we feel a sense of release because mm-hmm. now we know we can change. And the secret to changing that is just not say yes as much. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're going to talk more about this because it's not as simple as saying, oh yeah, just say no more. You know, it's... There's more involved.
There's a lot more involved. Okay, so let's move on to secret number two, which helps us to dive into that subject a little bit deeper.
Yeah, secret number two is to confront your fears. You know, the reason I often overcommit is because I'm afraid to say no. Sometimes I'm just afraid of disappointing somebody, or maybe I'm, you know, afraid I'm going to get fired, or I'm not going to get enough work, or I'm going to miss an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I'm a recovering people pleaser. You and I have had this discussion many times, and I readily admit it, but it's a constant temptation for me. And maybe it is for the people listening to this broadcast as well. But being brave is often looking someone in the eye and just saying, no, I can't do it all. And I want to make sure I'm setting my priorities, not someone else. I had this situation a couple of weeks ago where I came in after missing several airline flights, getting home a day late from a conference that was supposed to be a day and a half that turned into a 3-day travel hell ordeal. And I came home utterly exhausted. And so I don't know how much you know about the Enneagram test, but I'm an Enneagram 3, which means my image is really important to me mm-hmm. and how I'm perceived is very uh-huh. important to me. And so I made the decision, I was exhausted, that I was going to stay home from church, something I rarely do. Mm-hmm. You know, church is an incredibly high priority for me, but I made the decision and I sent a note to my pastor because I'm in leadership. And I just said, I'm not going to be there today. I'm really sorry, but I'm utterly exhausted and I need to rest. That was really difficult because my fear is that he would perceive me as a slacker mm-hmm. or I was somehow shirking my responsibility. But I just had to say, I think he'll be okay.
You know? We'll be all right. The worst would be going to church and being a miserable person to be around. Then you would have been perceived bad.
Yeah, totally. And I just think there's times when we have to confront that. And I think one of the biggest ones is FOMO, you know, fear yes. of missing out. Like, okay, see if this rings true. If I say no to that speaking engagement, maybe nobody will ever ask me to speak again. Mm-hmm. You know, if I say no to that guest post on that really important blog, maybe I'll never have another chance. Or if I say no to that media interview, maybe my book won't sell. Whatever it is. Uh-huh. And so that fear drives a lot of the reasons we get overwhelmed because we're really kind of coming out of a scarcity mentality, which we've talked about on this show before. And we, and I have to remind myself of what Gail always reminds me of. And that is there's more where that came from. There's more where that came from.
That's a great motto to memorize and to repeat. So simply, you begin by accepting responsibility, which Michael said is always the first secret. Second, confront my fears. So you may have to just sit and unpack, what am I afraid of? You know, what fears are driving this behavior? What is secret number three?
Secret number three is to reduce the drama. You know,
no, don't get personal. Come on.
Well, you know, if I'm honest, I have to admit that I often get overcommitted because it makes me feel important. In other words, it meets my need for significance. So rather than dialing the intensity down, I sometimes dial it up. And it oftentimes shows up in my language. So I might be prone to say things like, you know, people say, well, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm going crazy. Or I'm about to lose my mind. Or I feel so out of control. Or if something doesn't change, I'm going to have a breakdown. Or I'm about to go off the rails or whatever it is. Well, I may not say these things out loud, but they're still part of my internal dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of hyperbole, and that's exactly what it is, right? Like, you're not about to go crazy. You may feel overcommitted, but you're probably not about to go crazy. But it's really not helpful. And so I found
Doesn't it become almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy? The more that we talk about that, we start to actually mimic behaviors that we resemble it.
Well, I tell you, one of the things we got to be careful of is sort of prophesying the future in a sense. You know, where we're speaking these things into existence and we're affirming sort of the worst elements of ourselves. But I found it enormously helpful to dial down the intensity of my language and be more thoughtful about my word choices and especially avoid this kind of extreme language. It just gets me all jacked up and is not helpful at all. And sometimes when I feel overwhelmed, I love my staff for this. Susie and Jim on my team who do my executive support, you know, when I'm feeling like this, or even Megan who runs my company, when I talk like that, they're just really quick to not react in kind or to feed that, but just to listen and then say, okay, so let's talk about that. What can we do to make you feel some relief here?
Well, and I'm even thinking when I use that kind of extreme language or, you know, because when I get overwhelmed, I tend to verbally process. So when I get overwhelmed, my language can kind of, you know, actually make my feelings of overwhelmed actually increase more and more and more. And it's not helpful. So I think you're so right that simply changing the way you speak about that can really change your emotion. Not that you don't necessarily need to make some significant changes to your schedule, but simply that language change can help you endure it a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So secret number four.
Keep it in perspective. So when I find myself overcommitted, I have to recognize that this is likely a season, probably not a sentence, right? It's not like it's going to be like this forever. We've been going through all this remodeling, which has been very overwhelming to Gail, but we're almost at the end of it. We're just finishing up the landscaping now. And I've had to remind her a few times, and she's usually positive and energetic and all that, but it can be overwhelming for her. We've got vendors coming and going and all this stuff, a lot of chaos. And I just said, babe, this is almost over. This is just a season. So to keep it in perspective. And I remember several years ago, I was leaving the SCORE conference to actually go to work at the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast conference where I was going to co-MC it. And I remember Joy Grobelby, who was my manager at the time and works with you now. She said to me this, she said, just think, in less than 48 hours, you'll be done and on your way home. Man, that put it in perspective.
Changed everything, didn't it?
Changes everything because I realize that I can do almost anything for the next day or so. And
it's
so
it's like putting a finish line on it. There's times I'll even circle the day on the calendar or something to remind myself that when this day comes, I can sleep all day if I want to.
That's right. Well, and it's easy to kind of think it's going to last forever, but just to remind yourself and give yourself a goalpost. So once you cross, you know, the finish line, so to speak, take some time to celebrate and realize that, you know, that period of overwhelm is going to come to an end.
All right. So far we've talked about the first four of eight secrets to escape the overwhelm, how to reclaim your sanity. That's the promise of today's podcast. The first secret, accept responsibility. The second, confront my fears. The third, reduce the drama. And four, keep it in perspective. We have four more secrets coming up to help you get a little bit more balance on your overwhelmed life. But in the meantime, right now, before we move on, Michael, I know you have a very special event happening real soon that you'd like to talk about. And it's all about one of your favorite subjects.
Well, you know that I'm kind of a productivity geek.
Yes, you are.
And this upcoming event is my first ever Free to Focus Productivity Summit, and it's going to be awesome. I'm interviewing a panel of thought leaders, including Cal Newport, who wrote Deep Work. I know you finished that recently, book I loved. Greg McEwen, author of Essentialism, whom you and I have had the privilege of interviewing. And Gretchen Rubin from The Happiness Project, Sean Covey, Jason Fried. A handful of others, it's not that many, but about 8 hours of content, people that are reshaping the whole productivity conversation and leading us into what I think is a new way to think about productivity. This is going to be awesome. And the beauty of it is it's completely free and it's completely online. You have to register for it, but you don't have to go anywhere to participate.
Okay, that's pretty incredible because all these names that you mentioned are the kind of people I would love to sit down with and learn from and ask questions and all of that. And you're basically saying you're making that available to me for free.
That's right. And there's only eight of them. My staff said, look, let's not make people feel more overwhelmed because some of these online summits are 20, 30. I mean, I did one last year that had 24. It's like too much. And so I said, who are the seven or eight people that if I could really learn from, and we went after the A-list and every one of them thankfully said yes. And these are the people that I wanted to learn from because I want to take my productivity to another level and I want to empower people to do this.
Okay. So tell us how we sign up, where we can get all of that information.
Yeah. So this starts on September the 1st. So you don't have much time to register, but you can go to freetofocus.com/summit, sign up there, and we'll send everything to you that you need to know to attend online from wherever you are. And again, the cost, free. Doesn't cost you.
All right. So once again, that's freetofocus.com/summit. freetofocus.com/summit. It's absolutely free. It starts on September 1st. You don't want to wait. You need to head over there right now and get registered as soon as possible. And it's absolutely free. I keep asking you this because I want to make sure that free part is true.
Yeah, the free part's there. Yep, absolutely.
All right, that's incredible. I'm going to be signing up for it. I can't wait to see all that you've put together for us. Now we need to dive back into our topic today, which really fits very well with this Free to Focus Summit, but it's all about how to escape the overwhelm, how to reclaim your sanity. So if you are in a place where you are just completely overwhelmed with your schedule and your life, and you want to know how to dig yourself out, Michael is giving you eight secrets to do just that today. So far, we've talked about four: accept responsibility, confront your fears, reduce the drama, keep it in perspective. But we still have four more to go, Michael. So let's go on to number five.
I know. Okay, number five is to triage your calendar. So here's what I mean by that. Overcommitment is ultimately a calendar issue. It means you don't have enough white space or margin in your calendar. You're booked wall to wall. And your calendar's been eaten up with appointments. Mm-hmm. So if you're in this situation, perhaps you can negotiate your way out of some commitments in order to buy yourself some additional time. So this happened to me a couple of weeks ago with you. We had some podcasts scheduled. I was running late on some preparation I was doing for this course I was creating. And so I made the commitment. You made the commitment. So we asked if we could reschedule. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the deal. I think it's really important to be a person of your word to keep your commitments. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be the flaky kind of person that cancels on people or doesn't show up. You know, that's never good. It's not good for your brand. It's not good for your service or your business you're trying to build. But it doesn't hurt to ask. You know, I know enough about you to know that you're an introvert. And so the opportunity to get out of an appointment was probably a good thing to you.
I didn't mind too much, let's just say.
Awesome. So to triage your calendar means that sometimes you just have to go through and you say, look, I know that was a good idea, but I'm not going to do that. Here's another one. So I've had like 6 weeks of nonstop travel and I'm weary from traveling. So I got back, this was this weekend, and Saturday night I said to Gail, we've got a vacation that starts next week. Mm-hmm. So this is not this week, but next week. And I said, I really think we ought to make that a staycation. Because when I think about traveling and going through airports, and I think about checking into hotels and not having my stuff and forgetting stuff and being in a unfamiliar surrounding, there's a certain stress that goes with that. So what if we cancel our plans and make that a staycation? And she looked at me and she said, that's like the best idea I've heard in the last week. So we're going to do that. Now, we're going to be intentional about that, because if you stay at home, the temptation is to work. And so we're going to be real intentional and we're going to create a plan for what we're going to do that's not work during that time. But triage your calendar. Go through your calendar and ask, are there things that you can negotiate your way out of completely? Are there things that could be delayed? Are there things that other people on your team could handle for you just as well, maybe even better? But triage your calendar. Get yourself some white space.
Sometimes all I do is just moving things to, rather having things spread out over 5 days, moving it to only 2 days. Because I just having blocks of time can sometimes ease my overwhelm.
Great idea.
All right. Triage my calendar. What is secret number six?
Secret number six is do the next most important task. You know, sometimes people get overwhelmed because they think of all the stuff that has to be done. But usually everything that has to be done doesn't need to be done now. Some of it could be done tomorrow. Some of it can be done next week. But I practice what I call intentional procrastination. And so on my to-do list on any given day, I have three and only three tasks that must be completed. And I just go, I start with the most important, and then I go to the second most important, and I go to the third most important. And when the third most important is done, I'm done for the day. And partly I can do that because I've learned through the years to eliminate stuff that's non-essential, to automate much of what's left using either technologies or rituals or whatever, delegate what's left from that so that I'm focused on what I and only I can do. So just do the next most important task and stop worrying about everything else. I love this verse from Matthew 6:34 where Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Or maybe to take a little license with that, sufficient for the day is its own task. There's only a finite set of tasks that have to be done today, and you can get it done.
I love that. So maybe my to-do list for today that was 28 items long might have been a little bit too robust, is what you're saying?
You know, we did a survey recently that had about 3,000 people in it. And we were doing some research for this new productivity course that I'm creating. And get this, we found that there was a direct correlation between the number of tasks people have on their task list and their level of happiness.
Really?
Yeah. So in other words, once people start to get on all their task lists, I don't care what to-do list manager you have or whatever, but once you start getting more than about 50 tasks, you begin to feel overwhelmed, and your sense of well-being and happiness goes down.
Now, that's very interesting. All right, I'm making a side note about that. All right, so I'll have to evaluate my task list later. All right, so you just finished talking about do the next most important task. So rather than seeing 100 things that need to be done, look at the next most important one. That's all you need to look at. Okay, what is secret number seven?
This is one I love, and it's so easily overlooked, but it's so critically important. Get sufficient rest. I don't know about you, Michelle, but I can tackle almost anything provided I've had a good night's sleep.
I could not agree with you more. This has become significantly important to me. I'm all about the rest. Let me tell you.
Oh my gosh. Well, when I get tired, as Gail could attest to, I lose perspective and I find it difficult to focus, and it's much easier to become distracted. 2 hours in the morning after a good night's sleep are way more productive for me than 2 hours at night when I'm worn out and try to just grind it out. So oftentimes when I've got something that I'm feeling overwhelmed about, maybe I'm working on a speech or trying to write a chapter or a blog post mm-hmm. or whatever. And I'm just like, oh, I feel so overwhelmed, so burnt out. I'm discouraged. I literally feel discouraged. And Gail will often say to me, honey, why don't you go to bed? You know, go to bed early, get up another hour early. And it's the same difference time-wise, but you're going to be twice as productive in the morning. And she's always exactly right.
You know, I used to think that if I had a lot to do, I just needed to cut into my sleep time, you know, cut an hour or two out of my sleep time to get it done and that I would sleep better getting it done. I don't believe that at all anymore. I think, like you said, I absolutely refuse to give up my sleep time because I know how it helps me to be so much more productive tomorrow.
I do too. I protect it like crazy. And as you know, I have the practice of taking a nap after lunch almost every day. And so even when we were on a video shoot last week, I mean, we carved out time. We ate lunch and I said, look, I need 20 minutes and nobody makes fun of me.
I make fun of you a little bit, but your family doesn't.
Nobody makes fun of me on the set because I'm employing everyone. But I'm so much better. It all my energy is restored and I don't have that kind of sleepy, dozy, distracted kind of self, but I'm alert and I'm awake. And so my practice is I go take a 20-minute nap, get up, drink a cup of coffee, and I'm ready to hit it. And I'm as fresh as I was at the beginning of the morning.
Yeah, my naps are a little bit longer than 20, but I do take one almost every day. All right, so number 7, get sufficient rest. What is the final secret to reclaiming your sanity?
Yeah, number 8 is to decide to change. At the end of the day, it's up to you and it's up to me. No one else is going to take responsibility for building margin into your life. And that's probably not going to happen to you either. In fact, everyone around you is probably trying to figure out how to get more out of you. It's like a conspiracy. That doesn't make them bad people. It's just the way things work. So to move away from being overcommitted and feeling overwhelmed, you've got to establish boundaries and you've got to enforce them. And if you struggle with this, I highly recommend that you read Boundaries, by Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. I've read it several times.
Great book.
But get the subtitle. When to Say Yes, How to Say No to Take Control of Your Life. Awesome, awesome book.
Great resource. All right. So if you are completely overwhelmed right now, or maybe you find yourself in a state of being overwhelmed pretty much every day, we have hope for you. Today, Michael has given you 8 secrets to escape the overwhelm and reclaim your sanity. These are so practical. And, you know, Michael and I have both shared here. I mean, we live this out every single day because our personalities, the way that we work, tends to get us in that position of being overwhelmed quite often. So you're not alone. This really does work. The first secret is to accept responsibility. This is always first. That means you have the choice to do something different, which is actually really good news. Second, confront your fears. Third, reduce the drama. 4, keep it in perspective. This is not going to last forever. Things will come to an end. 5, triage your calendar. This may require you to get rid of some appointments or block them or figure out some new plan for your schedule. 6, do the next most important task. Rather than looking at all 100 of things you need to get done, just look at 1. 7, make sure you get sufficient rest. This is far more important than you realize. And 8, decide to change. Now, I have one last question for you, Michael, before we wrap up this episode. And I think this is really important considering the culture that we live in. How do you deal with overcommitment when you find yourself in this culture right now that values busyness as a sign of success?
I think you have to rage against the machine. You have to realize that it's not sustainable. That, again, you've got more power than you think. If that culture is that way and you really can't change it, first of all, I would challenge that belief. I think you've got more power than you think. But if you come to the conclusion that this is just a culture that is not going to be congruent with your values and the lifestyle that you want, you may need a different job. Now, here's the important thing. Doesn't mean you're going to have to do it tomorrow, but it means you need to set the intention that you're going to find a way out, because there is more at stake than you can possibly imagine, starting with your health, your sanity, your well-being, your family, and all the rest. And there are jobs out there that won't suck the life out of you and will pay you well. So I would start with that intention. Don't start with, well, there's nothing out there, or, you know, I'm just stuck, or I don't have the skills, or whatever it is. Just set the intention and then trust that the opportunities are going to open up. And then you can begin to work toward it.
Great word. Thank you, Michael. Well, if you enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. But can you do us a favor before you go? It's not going to take you very long, I promise. Just head over to iTunes and rate this podcast. This is huge for us in terms of improving our rankings in iTunes and keeping the show visible so others can discover it. Thank you ahead of time for helping us out. It really means a lot. And thank you for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.